Revelation chapter 22, and we'll just read verse 16. Revelation 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And that's all that we're going to read. We'll look to God to add His blessing to the reading of His precious Word. You'll notice in what we have just read that the Lord Jesus makes three references to Himself. He says He is the root. He says He is the offspring. And He says that He is the morning star. In the verse that I have read, it is a unique statement that the Lord Jesus has made. He makes a very unusual reference to Himself. Makes a reference that you'll not find very often in the Word of God. The moment of His birth, or prior to His birth, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." That's how we take it that most of us would understand something about the name Jesus, that it is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Joshua, that it means Jehovah is salvation. And so His name was to be called Jesus, for He was to save His people from their sin. The name Jesus is related or associated with His humiliation upon earth. Going back again to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and the 15th verse of that chapter, it was the seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head. The seed of the woman was Jesus. His humiliation was Calvary, where the bruising of the serpent's head would take place. Twice, the Lord Jesus referred to Himself as Jesus, only twice. Interesting when He used His own name on those two occasions. The first time was on the Damascus Road, when Saul of Tarsus said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he got the reply, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." It was used then relative to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. The Lord used that Himself. The Apostle Paul repeated that twice when he was telling his conversion, once on the steps of the castle, once to Agrippa. But the only other time that the Lord Jesus referred to Himself as Jesus was in the verse that I have read, and it was to comfort John on the Isle of Patmos. And so John heard Him speak. These are really not the words of John. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Himself. I, Jesus. I want you to notice then that the name Jesus is associated in the book of the Revelation with His return to earth and with His return, as we have read in this verse that we're going to notice in just a moment. The actual order of events is reversed. For example, the bright and morning star will come before the root and the offspring of David in the actual happening. The bright and morning star would refer to the rapture. The root and the offspring of David would refer to the revelation of the Lord Jesus here upon this earth. So I want to notice the statement first, the root and the offspring of David. The root and the offspring of David is the one who will be Israel's Messiah. He is Israel's hope. And in the millennial reign of Christ, He will be for the blessing of this world that we are living in. course, you and I at that moment will not be here. From chapter 4 on in the book of the Revelation, and you'll notice that he said that this has been given to be testified in the churches, not a book to be overlooked. And so you'll notice that from chapter 4 on, the scene is being prepared for momentous events that are going to take place upon this earth. God is going to deal with Gentile power. The days of the Gentile will come to an end. He's also going to deal with the false religions of earth. That's the false Babylon. The scene is going to be prepared for a momentous moment when the Lord Jesus is going to return to earth. And so you have in the book of the Revelation the seals of judgment and the trumpets and the vials of judgment that are going to be poured out upon this earth. There will be a remnant of Israel to be restored, and the king is going to return, and there will be blessing to Israel and blessing to the earth. But notice that he says that he is the root of David. And I would suggest that the root would indicate his absolute holiness. Isaiah has told us, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. I think I indicated yesterday that I've been in the part of the country where I was born and raised, and there's sandy soil in some parts of this country, this area. And if you remove a root out of a dry ground, I have seen it over and over, it comes out clean. Nothing clings to it. The Lord Jesus says here, he is the root. That is, he is absolutely holy. He is sinless. He is undefiled. He says here that he is the root of David. And so he is the origin of David. David sprang from him. He is the root of David. You'll remember that when you come to Matthew chapter 22, he asks the question, who they said that he was, or who they said that Christ was. And he answered that he would be the son of David. And then the Lord Jesus took them back to Psalm 110 and to the first verse of that psalm and presented them with an unanswerable question for them. And so he reminded them that David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And then the Savior said to them, if David called him Lord, then how could he be David's son? And so as David's Lord, as the root, he is the one who is eternal. He is the one of whom John wrote, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Eternal in his character, whose goings forth were from of old, of everlasting. He is the root. He is David's source. But then he says here that he is the offspring of David. And as the offspring of David, then he is David's son. The offspring of David would emphasize his birth. And so he said here, I, Jesus, as David's son, he is David's heir. He's the only living man who has a legitimate claim to David's throne. No one else has a claim to that throne. When he was here upon this earth, there was an illegitimate man upon the throne, Herod, the Edomite. No legitimate claim to that throne. The man who was born lowly was the one who had the claim to the throne, as the wise man said, the one who was born king of the Jews. And so as David's son, he has the credentials to claim the throne. He has the genealogy, Matthew's Gospel, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. As the son of David, he has all that is required to claim the throne that was promised to him. For they were told in Luke chapter 1, the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And so he reminds us here that he is the root and the offspring of David, and as such he has legitimate claim to rule upon this earth. When you come to the book of Malachi, we are reminded that he is the son of righteousness. The son of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. The son of righteousness is the Lord himself. And as the son of righteousness, he is going to establish a theocratic rule upon this earth. So we can sing, and we should sing, that Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom will stretch from shore to shore. He is going to establish a rule upon this earth and a time of peace like this earth has never known before and will never know until the Lord Jesus comes. Zechariah reminds us that he was going to come into Jerusalem riding upon a lowly animal. Of course, that took place when the Savior, when he was here upon earth, rode into the city. They put their clothes upon the animal. They spread their palm branches in the way, and they acclaimed him as he made his way into Jerusalem. And then a short time later, crucified him. But he's going to come to the city again. In this book of the Revelation, John looks up, and John sees the heaven open, chapter 19. And in chapter 19, as John is looking up, he sees the open heaven. Interesting study, the times in the Bible that the heavens are open. And as John sees the heaven open, he sees a white horse coming out of heaven. And he sees a rider upon that horse. But then he sees the armies of heaven following him upon white horses. He identifies the rider upon the great white horse that he sees. He says he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't know whether you'll all agree with me here or not, but that really doesn't matter just here, at least not to the speaker, because it does seem a strange thing to me that when we take the rider up on the horse is very literal, I don't take the horse that way. I was sitting in a house out west on the Canadian prairies. There's a lot of horses out west. I heard a number of horses racing across the prairies. I heard the thunder of their hooves on the prairies as they moved across the landscape. I thought to myself, what a tremendous moment that it's going to be when the Lord Jesus returns. And he's going to return in glory, and he's going to return in power. Not upon a lowly animal this time. He's going to come to earth, and his feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives again. From that very place where he led them out to, and they viewed as he ascended to go up to heaven. And we do believe that mortal eyes beheld that journey to the skies. And he's going to come back to that very place, and his feet are going to touch again the Mount of Olives. The angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven so? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. He's going to make his way into his city again. This time he'll come in glory. He'll come in power. We're told that every eye shall see him. And he'll make his way into the city, and he will claim the throne that is legitimately his, for he is the root and is the offspring of David. But just before I sit down, I want you to notice that he is also the bright and the morning star. I don't know how early you get up in the morning. I'm up very early in the morning. I go for a long walk every morning. And if you're up early enough and you look over to the eastern horizon, you'll see a brilliant star rising up over that horizon. The astronomers would call it the planet Venus. The Bible calls it the morning star. As the morning star rises, it's not long after that that you see the sun begin to rise. But the morning star is the first star you see in the morning. And the Lord Jesus said here that He is the bright and the morning star. The morning star is what we are waiting for at the present moment. When you come to the book of the Revelation from chapters 1 to 3, you find the word church, ecclesia, 19 times in those first three chapters. From chapter 4 on, you don't find the word church until you come until the verse just before we read here this afternoon. The church is in heaven from chapter 4 on. I would suggest that John is a representative person in chapter 4 and verse 1. And when John hears the summons from heaven, and the summons to John is, come up hither, and that read is only one word, it's the word ascend. And you'll let me wonder here for a moment, because I do wonder that when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, I do wonder if we're not given what that shout is in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, the command, ascend! And every blood-bought soul will ascend, will arise to meet the Lord in the air. And so here He says that He is the morning star. The morning star announces the dawn of the day. And perhaps the hymn writer has some truth. Keep your eye upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming as the bright and the morning star. When we come again to the book of Romans, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. But I'm certain, I'm persuaded, that there are brethren over the 57 years of the conference here in St. Thomas. 57 years ago at the first conference, they never expected that there would be the 57th conference here in St. Thomas. Most of those men, if not all of them, who were here at that first conference are now home in heaven. They never expected that we would be up on earth 57 years later. Time is drawing very short. The Lord Jesus is coming. And whatever our exercise is to do for Him, we should do it soon. Do it now. He says here He is the bright and the morning star. As our response should be, as twice here in the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. I was at a conference, and the brother who was speaking most here would know quite well, Mr. Turner Padisi, and he was speaking on the rapture, on the coming of the Lord. And as he drew near the end of his message, he stopped, and he said, listen. And I'm sure he didn't say anything for the next minute or two. And there was a silence. And people sat silently. And then he said, did you hear it? Did you? I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with Him evermore. The saints in St. Thomas have heard this before, but I'm going to tell it before I sit down. A number of years ago, and it'll be dated in a moment, I went to visit a sister, an elderly sister, in the hospital. 2 weeks after I stood at her bedside, she went home to heaven. As I was standing there, a nurse came running into the room. And the nurse said to the sister, there's an astronaut going around the earth in space and is being broadcast over the radio, and we want you to hear it. She wasn't interested in that. How could a soul who's getting very near to heaven be interested in a man going around Earth in a space capsule? But I memorized, as she said it, what she said. She looked into the face of that nurse, and the nurse was astounded at what she said. She said to that nurse, "No, dearie, I'm going higher. Just higher someday. I'm going higher someday. Way up in space to a wonderful place. I'm going higher someday."